probably heard the term mind-body connection, but what does that really mean? It means that our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and attitudes can positively or negatively affect our biological functioning. In other words, our minds can affect how healthy our bodies are. And on the flip side, what we eat and how much we move can impact our mental state, again, either positively or negatively, and this results in a complex interrelationship between our minds and our bodies. But in today's frantic, fast-paced world, many of us have lost this fundamental connection with ourselves. We're simply too busy, too stressed out, too disassociated to be able to hear our body's signals. My guest today wants to change that, and the tool she uses is a modality called Pilates. You're probably familiar with the term, but how much do you really know about the benefits of a Pilates practice? Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Show. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm a certified personal trainer and nutrition coach, and my mission is to help you get into the best shape of your life, no matter your age, so you can show up in the second half of your life as the healthiest, strongest, most vital version of yourself. We have a great show for you today. Emma Jory is here, and she's going to share with us how a Pilates practice can help those of us over 50 on our health and wellness journey. But before we get to that, I want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by Energy Bits. Energy Bits makes the purest algae available on the market. Chlorella and spirulina are two of the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. They're both algae that have been consumed for centuries because of their amazing health benefits. You can improve your energy, focus, immune system, and so much more by incorporating these powerful superfoods into your daily routine. Energy Bits makes it easy and convenient to get your daily dose of chlorella and spirulina. I personally take spirulina every morning for its antioxidants, omega-3s, and the 40 vitamins and minerals to help improve my energy and my focus. And I take their chlorella every evening for its super high chlorophyll and the vitamins and minerals to help with things like immune function, recovery, and gut health. I recommend starting out with their Vitality Bits. This is a 50-50 blend of spirulina and chlorella, and you can find those over at energybits.com. And because you're a listener of this podcast, you can save 20% off your purchase when you use the coupon code SILVEREDGE at checkout. Again, that's energybits.com and use coupon code SILVEREDGE. That's SILVEREDGE all run together at checkout to save 20%. One last thing, if you'd like to learn more about Energy Bits and the superfood powers of algae, I recorded a podcast episode with the CEO and Chief Science Officer of Energy Bits last year, and that's titled The World's Most Powerful Superfood with Catherine Arnston. So be sure to go back and give that a listen if you'd like to learn more. Okay, enough of that. Let's get on with today's show. My guest today is Emma Jory. Emma is a certified Pilates instructor, yoga instructor, and health coach, and her passion is helping people reduce pain, improve flexibility, increase core strength and posture, and most of all, to help them learn to love their body. I started our interview by asking Emma how she got interested in Pilates.
Yeah, so I guess I've always been an active person when I was younger, but not with kind of exercises that I had to think about doing exercise in. I mean, I was a horse rider and a dancer, and so I was getting exercise by default from my activities. And I guess later, you know, after my teens, when I had given up horse riding and dancing, I realized I had to keep moving. So headed to the gym and got into the pump classes, boxing, those sort of things. But never really, I mean, I liked pump and I did enjoy working out, but I never really found anything that I kind of really stuck to. It never became a habit of mine that I did every day. It was kind of like, because I had to. So for me, you know, I got into corporate, was working corporate, and then finally came across this thing, Pilates, and someone took me along to a class. I'd heard all about it. It was something the celebrities were doing and wanted to see what this rave was all about. And loved my first class, felt amazing after. And to be honest, probably the best thing about it I loved was that I could exercise lying down at the time. I wasn't, you know, I think I'm not necessarily lazy, but if I could, I'd prefer sitting on the couch probably rather than getting out to exercise. So, but it became part of my life and I did it 5-6 times a week. It was incredible. It became definitely, you know, a lifestyle for me. And I'd had injuries as well, and it really started to help those. And then I got into teaching and teaching full time, left corporate. And I've never looked back, really. 17 years later, still going and still learning, which is the exciting part. And had a studio in Australia, ended up opening my own studio. And yeah, now I'm based in Malaysia and moved the studio online. So yeah, it's quite a different setup, but it's fantastic. I help people all around the world. So it's wonderful.
That sounds like quite a journey. So it sounds like you've been active most of your life, although you described yourself as being preferentially lazy, I think, sit on the couch and get up and work out. But I guess it's a matter of finding what works for you, right? What movement is fun and sustainable for you? You mentioned as a child there being active in, I think it was dance and horseback riding, and then later trying some other modalities. You brought a pump and some other things. But it wasn't until you were introduced to Pilates, it sounds like, that you really found something you were passionate about. How old were you when you discovered Pilates?
Gosh, good question. It's about 18 years. Yeah, it's about 30, in my 30s. Yeah, early 30s. So, okay. Yeah. And definitely, I think what was the draw too was because it was a mind-body connection as well. Like it didn't just need my physical focus. It also took my mental focus as well, which to me helped a lot. I was quite stressed in corporate. It helped me to calm down, to feel, you know, a little bit more connected to myself, I found. And it got me through lots of moments in my life. Then went through a divorce and had also, you know, some moments of, I guess, overworking. I was a bit of a workaholic, and I found it really helped me balance, you know, my life and my lifestyle. So it brought a lot more benefits than just, for me, the standard working out that I had been doing.
Gotcha. And I want to pull all of that apart here in a minute. You had mentioned it's helping manage stress. Earlier on, you had talked about helping you rehab from some injuries and creating this mind-body connection and this balance in your life. But before we unpack some of that, let's back up a little bit and talk about Pilates. What the heck is Pilates? When we say Pilates, I think most of us have an idea. It's some kind of yoga-type thing. But what is Pilates?
Yeah, of course. Good question. I guess to sum it up, it's a strengthening, toning, and also a flexibility improvement workout that does incorporate mindfulness. So a lot of breathing, and it focuses a lot on core strength. We hear everyone talk about core strength, and often people think that it's just the abdominal muscles that we're focusing on when we're talking about the core. But as you would know, Kevin, it's more than that. It's the back, it's the shoulders, it's the glutes for women and men as well. It's pelvic floor. It's all of that sort of area. So it's basically our trunk. So we're focusing a lot on our trunk, moving from our center, we call it, and that is the focus. So we not only work the bigger muscle groups that you do work in the gym, but we focus a lot on the deep stabilizing muscles. And I guess that's the biggest difference. It helps to keep the body in alignment. It focuses a lot on posture. We make sure the body's in, you know, kind of good postural alignment as we're working out. So in that respect, it helps to prevent injury and also recover from injury. It helps to balance out the body a lot. So they're kind of the main sort of focuses, I think, to differentiate it from other modalities. Yoga is a little bit more spiritual than Pilates. Often, you know, we do reference the similarities to yoga, but we are less on the spiritual side, even though Pilates is a way of life and there's a lot of, you know, discipline around it, but focusing a bit more on the physical.
Okay, yeah, and I think that's helpful because it's certainly in my mind, as I said before we started recording, I don't know very much about Pilates. I mean, in my mind, it's similar, but I guess maybe the core strength is what, in my mind, I thought had separated it from from yoga is that emphasis on core strength. Now, talk to us a little bit about the history of Pilates, because I believe this Pilates is named after, is it Joseph Pilates is the founder of this movement? How long ago was that? And who
in
was
the
this
1800s,
guy?
Yeah. So Joseph actually began this workout. His history was, he was a gymnast, he was a weightlifter, he had a lot of upbringing in different modalities himself in physical training, and he was interned as part of the war at the time, and he put this program together to keep the prisoners of war fit and healthy while they were interned. And in fact, he noticed some great, talking about pandemic times, he noticed that a lot of his people, his students, when later in life they went through the influenza pandemic then, actually didn't get sick. So it really helped a lot of, you know, during that time, he noticed not only physically, but also mentally and overall in immune system as well. He went on to move to America, and it was there that he actually opened a Pilates studio, the first ever Pilates studio. And a lot of dancers ended up coming to him for training, rehabilitation. And it kind of began, the movement, I guess, began really for a lot of the dancers in New York. Him and his wife set up the studio, and it then ended up becoming a little bit more mainstream, I guess, firstly through celebrities, but then, you know, now it's a lot more mainstream. So it had a really interesting effect on so many people, you know, since his legacy is incredible.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of his quotes is physical fitness is the prerequisite to happiness or something along that lines, right? Which I absolutely love that, because I, you know, as a coach, I get a lot of people that come to me with primarily a fat loss goal, right? Or in their mind, it's a weight loss goal. And it's less about moving well and improving quality of life and decreasing stress, improving sleep and feeling better, moving without aches and pains. And I think that these people, you know, if they stick with something, a routine, and it could be Pilates, it could be anything that works for them, right? What they find is that, yes, that weight loss journey is only a part of what happens, right? But there's this happiness, there's this joy, there's this overall better engagement with self and life and relationship to self, relationship to food, relationship to exercise, etc. That comes along with some sort of a physical practice. And I think you would probably agree with that, right?
Totally. Well, it's interesting you say that. One of I only learned this recently, that one of the things he wanted to improve on was people's sex life, actually, as well. So yeah. That was something I just came across recently. So yeah, happiness in all areas.
Sure.
Obviously.
And, you know, my audience is men and women over 50 who are looking to improve their health and fitness and wellness. And certainly having increased energy, increased libido, reduced stress, all of these things are very, very important. I think that people that initially come in because they want to get stronger and they want to lose weight, they're sometimes surprised at how much time I spend talking about lifestyle things. Well, let's talk about your stress and managing your stress. Let's talk about ways we can improve your sleep and build sleep, you know, healthy sleep hygiene, etc. So, yeah, all really good stuff. So let's dig into this. You had mentioned a few of the things that Pilates is great for, right? So let's kind of pick some of that apart. If somebody's listening to this and probably has, like me, maybe just very little idea of what Pilates really is, and maybe has a friend that does it or has been to a class at one point, what are some of the main benefits? Why would somebody start a Pilates practice?
A lot of people actually come into it to prevent and to improve or recover from injury, actually, back pain, shoulder, hip, knee pain. And in fact, a lot of my clients get incredible results from the sessions for these kind of ailments. Things like hip bursitis, you know, knee recovery. I've also had a knee injury, and it's helped me recover from that, as well as back injury. A lot of people actually get results from the Pilates which prevents them having to have surgery in a lot of cases. So that's a big number one reason to come into Pilates, but also to tone up, strengthen. Also, some people do come for prevention of osteoporosis, because we do a lot of weight bearing, physical, you know, our own weight bearing exercise. And I guess also posture. You know, a lot of people tend to obviously spend too much time on the computers and devices nowadays, so it definitely helps to improve posture. And believe it or not, that's a ripple effect to reducing anxiety and stress, because if we're kind of hunched over in the body, we tend to not breathe as easily and as well. So it has a ripple effect. A lot of people actually end up a lot more relaxed and calm after a class. And also I've had reports people have reduced blood pressure after a month of Pilates and yoga even with me. Yeah, it's quite incredible.
Yeah, and I certainly can picture all of those things as being great benefits. You had mentioned that posture and realigning, and so many of us spend so much of our life in that hunched over forward position you're talking about, when we're staring at our iPhones or iPads, when we're on our computers, when we're driving. There's just so much that causes us to be in these very, very unhealthy and unnatural positions, right? So having some sort of a physical practice that is very deliberate about correcting some of that would be really, really important. So you had mentioned people coming and doing Pilates frequently. How often, if somebody's starting a Pilates practice, what might they expect? I'm guessing we probably don't go 7 days a week, but how does that look in that progression? Is Pilates something that could be a daily practice over time, or how does
definitely
that work?
Definitely. Yeah, good question. It definitely can be a daily practice, and I recommend starting off twice a week when you do begin, and then moving on to 3, 4, 5, depending on, you know, how much time you have, times per week. The interesting thing is, you know, the old, I guess, way of thinking, going to a Pilates class used to be you needed an hour, you know, and usually most classes or private sessions are 1 hour long. But in fact, if you can fit in just half an hour, even 15, 20 minutes, that's also beneficial. And it's something that I tend to really focus on educating my clients around, that they don't have to do a full hour, that every little bit counts. And, you know, if you want to create a regular practice, then that's a great way of fitting it into a daily practice. So definitely, you know, something you can do every day for sure.
Okay, that's good to know. So it's not like, you know, intense powerlifting where you probably want to do that 3-4 days a week and make sure you're getting that recovery. This is more of a daily practice that you can work up to, get comfortable with, and do daily. You mentioned that you don't have to do an hour's worth of work at a time, that you could break this into smaller chunks. So as we're talking about Pilates, what sort of movements are we talking about here? And for example, in one of your e-classes, a beginner e-classes, what sorts of things is a person doing during this class?
Yeah, it's we when we create a class, we tend to have different planes of movement, and I don't know if that's always included in personal training or not, but we always try to include flexion, which is where we kind of go into abdominal curl, rounding the spine forward, and extension, which is back work. We try and do side work. We're working the waist and twisting. So we tend to try and incorporate all positions, if you like, of the body. So you may start, you know, with abdominal work, you may flip onto the tummy and do some back work. If you're doing a mat class, this is, or a mat session, you may do side work. So you do get all ranges of movement. So it's always a very balanced kind of workout, or unless we tend to sometimes focus on a little bit more targeted work. But usually a Pilates class is a very, very well-rounded, full-body workout.
And if I'm going to do a Pilates class, what equipment do I need? You had mentioned a mat class. I'm guessing that's something that we're going to do similar to yoga on the floor, right, with a mat.
Yep. So, yeah, so Joseph did begin the Pilates workout with the exercises on the mat. And often what happens is, if you maybe aren't quite as flexible yet, or you may find some areas of your body not as strong as others, you can do certain moves on the other equipment, which is, there's a machine called the reformer, which looks like a long bed. You may have seen that one that moves up and down, has a resistance. That one was first designed by Joseph to help allow the body to adapt to the mat exercises. So basically, if you couldn't do all the mat exercises, you would then go on to the reformer, and that then would give you some opportunities to strengthen and flex and create flexibility in areas that you couldn't quite get on the mat. And then there's the same with a few other pieces of apparatus, the Cadillac chair and barrel. He created those as well. One of them, the Cadillac, kind of looks like a big trapeze table with springs attached to it. And originally he had designed that from a normal bed and attached springs to the ends of the bed, and was helping people recover, you know, from injury in bed. So his designs are really interesting of equipment. The one called the chair was designed to send people home from his studio so that they could easily do workouts at home on the chair, have a small piece of equipment on the chair. So, yeah, it's interesting. All the pieces of equipment are to help you actually do your mat work better.
Gotcha. So, but a beginner could start with just nothing, right? You can put a beach towel on the floor and you're ready to rock and roll, right? Okay.
Yeah, the mat is totally fine. Yeah, totally fine.
Mat is totally fine. Gotcha. And who is Pilates for? I'm guessing this is pretty much, from what you're saying, it sounds like it's pretty accessible. Is this good for everybody? Is there a group of people that this isn't for?
No, it's great for everyone, actually. Very, very good. And for all ages. I think it's ideal because it's all about getting flexible in the spine as well. That's one focus that we like to differentiate with again as well. The flexibility of the spine is really important as we get older. If we fall, we're going to tumble a lot easier. It's like imagine doing, you know, a somersault kind of every day. That's almost what our Pilates movements look like. Sometimes we do rolls on the floor, we practice getting up and down off the floor. So the Pilates exercises are great as getting older for that reason, and also they help us prevent injuries. So if we do fall, we're less likely to be as going to damage something because we'll be able to fall with a little bit more ease.
Yeah, maybe a little more grace, a little more ease, and certainly being stronger, more mobile, more flexible, these things that you had mentioned. So it sounds like there's a lot of benefits then for aging population. So somebody in their 50s, 60s, 70s, who maybe is starting to have some of the sarcopenia, right? They're losing some muscle, maybe some osteopenia, losing some of that bone density.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Probably don't have that the strongest core. And we had mentioned that the core basically is from your chest all the way down to the bottom of your hips. It's all of that, right? Including the pelvic floor.
Absolutely.
And the glutes, like you had said. But really, the abs is what people typically think of. But all those muscles in the back and the deep muscular in there that supports all of that is really critical for us to maintain as we age. And what happens is, I think, probably the common narrative is just, well, those things just happen. That's what happens as we get older. But I think what gets missed a lot of times is how much control we have over that aging process, over things like the sarcopenia and osteopenia and loss of balance, loss of muscle tone, etc. So if somebody's listening to this and they already have some sort of practice, that maybe they're doing weight training 3 days a week, or maybe they're running, how would they incorporate Pilates into something they've already established that they're enjoying?
Yeah, it's a really good add-on to any of those kind of modalities. Like you said, the Pilates helps to open the hips, strengthen the glutes. So for runners, it's fantastic for that. And as you said before, you know, the core strength is vital, especially when we're sitting often or even during your other kinds of workouts. You can apply the Pilates principles. So aligning the body in good posture for your weight training, while you're running, thinking of lengthening the spine so you're not just dumping your weight as into the ground, feeling lighter. The Pilates principles that you do learn can be transferred into all types of exercise. So fit it into your regime. You can add it like a couple of times a week to help with injury prevention, but also, like I mentioned, thinking of it during your other types of modalities, forms of exercise.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see how that would be. You could have Pilates be your primary mode of exercise, and that's what brings you joy, and that's what you, how you enjoy moving and doing. But it would also, it sounds to me, be a great bolt on to what you're currently doing, because I think especially folks that are, we have a lot of people, two camps really. There's the resistance training folks and then the aerobics folks, people who primarily do, you know, they're going out for a run or cycling or maybe in a gym on a Stairmaster or an elliptical. Then you have the person that's hitting the weights 3, 4, 5 times a week, boot camp people, the CrossFitters, etc. But bringing in a practice like this a few times a week to help with all the things that you had talked about, right? That recovery, increasing that strength and flexibility through that full range of motion, all of those things would be just great for your general quality of life, but also for whatever primary activity you're currently doing. Is that fair?
Absolutely. And it will enhance it for sure, because we even focus on things like the feet, the hands, the arms, things that you tend not to think about as much perhaps in other forms of exercise. So, you know, the feet are the foundation of the body, for example. If you get those strong, then everything up the chain of the body tends to work well. So there, you will notice changes and improvements in your body in so many ways. And yeah, fitting it in a couple of times a week will definitely, I think, see a lot more efficiency. That's where we can also see improvements, efficiency in the body and how it moves, if you like, and operates.
Yeah, no, I'm very interested in that. One of the things that I'm personally interested in is how can I best recover from workouts and from all the stressors in my life, right? Whether that's a workout stress or a work-related stress or whatever that is, and how can I optimize my performance? And certainly bringing in something that focuses on core strength and mobility. And you had mentioned a little bit about that mind-muscle connection. And I wanted to go back and touch on that because I think a lot of people kind of miss that. And especially as we get older, I feel like we have that more innately as younger individuals. But as we get older, we tend to lose that connection with our musculature. Can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of mind-muscle connection and how we might reconnect to that and redevelop that?
Yeah, it definitely does happen as we get older. And as we sit for long periods of time, you know, we lose those glute muscles, don't we? The activation of the glute muscles. And once things start to atrophy is the word, where it, you know, doesn't slows down the growth in the muscle and doesn't work as well, then other muscles take over and start to work more than what they should. So we start to see imbalances in the body, and that then can lead to injury, or if it doesn't lead to injury, can eventually create pain or discomfort even. May not for everyone, but it can sometimes lead to that. So definitely keeping all the connections of the muscles working and in balance is key as we're getting older. And if we're doing exercise repetitively, if we are running, obviously we are going to be using a lot of potentially quads, and if those glutes aren't strong enough, then we just perpetuate. You know, we keep adding on a little bit more every time, unless we're balancing that out. So highly, highly recommend finding a little bit of a Pilates practice to help balance that out, especially as you age, because we tend to also, when we age, shrink a little. You know, our space between our discs gets closer together. That's why we actually all get a little bit shorter as we age. And Pilates does focus a lot on lengthening and getting that good posture back. So Joseph talks a lot about we are as young as our spine, and it's a big part of everyday life. Moving the spine is important without injury, without discomfort.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with you. And you had brought up there a couple of times the importance of strong glutes, and I know that's something that you're passionate about. I've read some of your blog posts on importance of strong glutes. And it's true that we become pretty quad dominant because we're constantly in that seated position. Again, very unnatural for us. If you think of our human history, we've only been seated most of the day for a very short period of time. Why is it important that somebody, especially those of us over 50, why should we care about having strong glutes?
Yeah, I think it's forgotten that the glutes are part of the core as well. So for myself, I've actually had a back injury, and I know that part of the recovery was to make sure that glutes are firing. But as long as it's sort of an equal, I guess, strengthening of the area, so also the core, also the back. The back is also a big part of the core, making sure those shoulders not up around our ears all day long like we tend to have them. So when that's all working together, the shoulder, glute, hip, core connection, evenly and balanced, if you like, I think we have less pain, definitely, and more control over our center.
100%. I'm with you there. I think a lot of people miss the importance of developing glutes, and it's just they're huge muscles in our body, and when they start to atrophy, to your point, we start to get these imbalances, which leads to different weird compensations, and that's just it's a bad road to go down, right? So we want to get out ahead of that as much as possible. Another question I wanted to ask you is about the role of Pilates in weight loss. So like I said earlier, as a coach, I get a lot of folks come to me and their main goal is, I want to lose this 10, 15, 20, whatever it is, pounds. Is Pilates a good prescription to help with healthy, long-term, sustainable weight loss?
It is. It focuses a lot on breath. I know, obviously, the physical training is important, the strengthening, the weight bearing, all of that does help with weight loss just in general because you're moving your body. But the breathing is even an important part too, because we tend to be more in the present moment. When we're doing our workout, we are focusing on what we're doing with our body. We tend to focus a lot on the breathing, and therefore we tend to feel more calm after the workout, which then leads us to less stress in the body. And there's obviously a connection between stress and holding on to weight. If we're stressed, we release hormones like cortisol, the adrenaline that cause us to hold on to the weight. So the more we are actually practicing something like Pilates, which is a mind-body connection exercise, we tend to keep the body calm and relaxed, and therefore that prevents the release of these hormones that hold on to the weight, I guess, is a simple way of explaining it.
Yeah, I like that very much. So you're creating this state of mindfulness, a state of awareness. And certainly in our day and age, that's not, for most of us, that's not where we live, right? Things are so hectic, and most of us are overwhelmed most of the day. We have all these different stressors. And finding some sort of a practice that's centering, that's creating this mindfulness, to your point, can return us to this parasympathetic state where we're not constantly in this flight or fight with, to your point, that just dumping cortisol, which is going to cause us to preferentially store our energy as fat and all sorts of, just a cascade of hormonal effects that are not good for us.
Yeah.
And certainly cortisol it's vital for our existence, right? And once upon a time was very critical for our survival. But I think a lot of people miss is we live in a time when our stressors aren't necessarily these physical danger, fight or flight type of stressors, thankfully, right? They're very few and far between, or some of us maybe never, but rather our stressors are chronic. They're traffic, it's work, it's relationships, it's other things. And our body doesn't understand the difference between those. So finding some kind of a practice that is a centering, mindful, aware kind of a practice can really go a long ways towards weight management. And I kind of thought that's the route you were going to take, as well as you're going to burn some calories while you're doing this, right? And anytime we create lean muscle mass, we're building our metabolism to be healthier, which will help with long-term weight loss as well. So a lot of really good advice there and a lot of good benefits there. And you had mentioned this being a good practice for stress management as well. And I think that's another thing that maybe gets missed with Pilates, is because you're connecting to your body, you're connecting to your breathing, that you're going to have these physical benefits, but you're going to have these emotional and potentially stress management benefits as well. Is that fair?
For sure. Absolutely. Or what you said is exactly right. And it is definitely overlooked. I think we, like you say, we're spending so much time outwardly in these stresses of today's world, on the phone or whatever it might be, the computers, the driving, the traffic. And we are looking outwards all the time. And once we do reconnect and come back to ourselves, and even just the practice of knowing or thinking about the movement in the body that we're doing keeps us focused internally. So if we have that half an hour or that 1 hour, it's not only away from the devices, it's away from everything, but we're actually internally focused. When we are reconnected back to the body, we definitely, are focused on that and not on the other things that are going on in the world. in our lives.
Yeah, no, that's a great way of saying it, that reconnecting to our body. I can't remember. I think one of the past guests on here had talked about his body whispering to him and him learning to hear that. And I think what happens is a lot of us are so disconnected from our bodies that we're missing not whispers, but shouts from our body.
It's so true.
And having some way of reconnecting is, I think, critical for learning how to listen to your body and to understand what your body's trying to tell you, because your body is constantly seeking a healthy, stable state. We're often just so distracted and disconnected from our bodies that we're missing all these signals.
It's so right. I say that often to my clients. You know, every day we step onto the mat, because mine is mostly mat training, especially online now, we have a different body. We are different each time. So not to expect also the same thing from your body. So you may be, you're the same person every time you step onto the mat, but your body is different and feeling different and needs different things. So yeah, that tuning in to what your body needs is important.
100%. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that wholeheartedly. And speaking of just chaotic, stressful lives, a lot of people, the reason they don't have a regular movement practice is because they don't have time. Talk to us a little bit about how do we make time, or how do we find time to start some sort of a movement practice like Pilates?
Yeah, it's great to focus on you know, I've been personally in and out of Pilates a few times myself even, but probably the longest I was away from it was for about 4 months myself. So I know what it's like to fall out of routine, and that's probably the longest I was ever away from it and did other things. You know, I'd fitted in other exercise, but I just didn't feel myself, and I didn't feel right in my body when I had that break. But what tends to happen, I think, is if we think we have to fit in going back to this 1 hour a day, then you may find it too challenging. And the body often, as human beings, we often unconsciously even move away from pain and seek pleasure. So if you're one that finds it hard to get into routine, if you think that 1 hour of a class or a session is daunting and, you know, you're putting it off, then break it down to smaller increments of time, I think, is the key. So easily accessible, make it always a win, a positive, so you're always achieving what you set out to do. So if you allocate 10 minutes even, you know, we can all do 10 minutes. We have to be able to do 10 minutes for ourselves, ideally, and carve out just that little bit of time. And then once you achieve that, you give yourself that reward, you feel good. It's going to be a little bit easier next time around when you go to do it. So I think that's one way of making it easier. And do things like place the mat out so it's ready, so it's easy to fall onto in the morning whenever you like to work out, or in the afternoon, you know, it's behind your desk if you're working from home, jump down, do a few stretches, whatever it might be. Finding those ways to set up your environment for success. And one other thing I like to do as well is notice when I like to work out. So I have more energy in the afternoon and evenings. I still do stuff in the morning, but I tend to want to do I sometimes do weight training as well, but my Pilates and strengthening in the afternoon when my body's woken up, and do a bit of walking and stretching in the morning. So I think find your time when you know you will have that little bit more energy to actually achieve it.
Yeah, so those are great tips. I love that you talk about starting small. Certainly 10 minutes of exercise is better than 0 minutes of exercise, right? And then once that becomes a habit and you start to get positive feedback from that, that's kind of a positive motivation loop, right? As I start to feel better, move better, then I'm more likely to incorporate that. And I think that a lot of people miss that, these really busy people, they're like, well, I couldn't possibly make time for exercise because I have all these other things to do. What they miss is that self-care is so critical for them to develop and I guess share their full potential, right? If you're taking the time to take care of yourself, which are things like sleeping regularly and getting exercise and eating healthy foods, you're going to show up in life as the best version of yourself for the people, if you're a caregiver, for the people you're giving care to, for your employer, for your employees, for your friends, etc. And I think people just miss that that self-care is an act of self-love, and it's not selfish. It's something that makes you a better human being so that you can shine your bright light for the rest of the, you know, to fulfill your purpose, so to speak, right? And I just think that so many people miss that when they say, I don't have time for fill in the blank healthy activity, right?
For sure. It's essential, isn't it, to be our best self. We definitely show up to do life better once we've carved out that time for ourselves. Completely agree. And yeah, it certainly has a ripple effect to the rest of our families, our life, the community. We do show up as our best self. I agree.
Yeah, it kind of goes back. We started the conversation with that quote that said that physical fitness is a prerequisite for happiness, right? And we kind of come full circle on that.
I love that.
So, obviously, I'm a big, big fan of all of that, of the exercise, of the healthy eating, and the healthy lifestyle, that stress management and healthy sleep habits, because all of that goes together. I think it's kind of like a three-legged stool. If you have the movement, and you have the nutrition, and you have those lifestyle factors all firing on all cylinders, then you're definitely in for a much happier life, I suppose, right?
Absolutely. It's like really servicing a car, isn't it, almost? You know, you've got to take it in for a service. You've got to give it the right fuel.
Right.
You have to keep it, the maintenance up. And our body's just like that, and it needs all of that formula. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's just missed a lot in today's world, where we're so busy and there's so much happening in our world politically and otherwise, that it just seems overwhelming and there's so much anxiety. And if people would return more to this healthier creating and building and maintaining these healthier habits, that all of those things become a little more manageable or able to deal with and react to stress. I mean, we're not going to make stress go away, and there are certain things we don't have any control over, but we are in control of how we react to those things. And by having a healthy mind, healthy body, we're much more able to react and to deal with these things. So
for sure. It is like, movement is almost like meditation in some respects. And we're almost, rebooting the body. We can sometimes, if we get stressed or we're feeling the effects of life, if we move the body, we shift the energy, we are almost rebooting, restarting again that day or that moment. We can, it's almost like going, just having a sleep, you can get up and it's all gone. You can start afresh again. And I think moving and the self-care, as you talk about, almost allows time to expand. I think the more we have that self-care element, I almost feel like that time expands almost. You do seem to get more out of life.
I 100% agree with you there. Absolutely. I love how you reference movement as a type of meditation. And certainly I hadn't thought of it really in those types of terms, but that absolutely resonates with me, right? As I think through that is absolutely my movement practice is a form of meditation. It is a way to reboot and to, like you said, make me a healthier human going forward in this world. So Emma, what's next for you? What's on the horizon for you?
There's a lot of things spinning around, always is. I have a couple of programs that I run. I have an online Pilates studio membership, but I also have pre and postnatal focused classes as well. So I'll be actually offering more live coaching on for all of those members and my clients of those programs moving forward, which I haven't done a lot of. Even though a lot of the world has been doing live stuff, I've been more pre-recorded up until now, so I'll be doing a lot more live coaching, and also potentially putting out just a healthy kind of eating program for my members moving forward. So I'm a health coach as well, so yeah, I'm very aligned with all your topics on those things as well. Yeah.
Oh, that certainly sounds exciting. And if people want to work with you or connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect to you?
So my website is E for Emma, epilatesonline.com. And on that website, they can find all of my programs, my Core Fit Club membership for anyone who wants to try out Pilates. There's a free Pilates pack that is available for them to sign up to. And pre and postnatal options are all on that website as well. And yeah, I'd love to help anyone who has any interest in Pilates.
Okay, and folks, I will drop all of that information into the show notes for this, and you can find that there. You had mentioned that you have a free Pilates pack, and I can certainly put a link for that in as well. What about somebody who's listened to this interview and has decided, you know what, I'd like to jump in. I'd like to start an actual Pilates program. Is there a program that you would recommend for, say, that 50, 60-year-old who is just looking to start a movement practice and wants to do something with Pilates?
Yeah, a lot of my members actually range in age from 30 to up to 76. I have a big age group that I cater for. We have beginner classes inside the membership and also intermediate and advanced. Most of my classes have modifications, so they're good for all levels. I tend to break things down a lot and really, you know, have a good pathway for beginners. So the Core Fit Club is the name of my online program. So ePilates Online is my main name that you can find me under, but the specific online Pilates studio is called the Core Fit Club. And that can be found at thecorefitclub.com as well. And that's unlimited use of about 300 on-demand classes, but also a specific pathway that members can follow. And so they can log in anytime they like to access classes and tutorials. And I provide a monthly calendar for the members, so not it's not something you have to do is to fish around the classes to see what you want to do for the day. It's all laid out for you. It's you just log in, click the day, and there's a class waiting for you. My members actually love that. And I have a very supportive group of members who are amazing and very inspiring, post about their workouts, encourage one another, and very, very supportive of any new members who join. So it's a fantastic online community if it's something that interests you.
Okay, folks, so my challenge to you is this. Go check that out, and that is epilatesonline.com. Of course, I'll put all of those links into the show notes for this. So, Emma, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing all of your wisdom and your knowledge and your passion for this subject with us, and I certainly wish you all the best in all your future endeavors.
Thank you so much, and love what you're doing as well, Kevin, and hope to chat again soon. Thank you.
Okay, folks, that's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. You can find all the links to the resources we discussed in this episode over at silveredgefitness.com/episode113, and you can continue the conversation over there as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on today's show. As we wrap up our time together today, you can show your support for this show in two important ways. One is to tell a friend about this podcast and encourage them to give it a listen. The second is to give this podcast a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, and be sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss any future episodes. I also want to let you know that if you've enjoyed this podcast, I have other free resources over at silveredgefree.com. There you'll find my guides with my top tips on exercise, nutrition, and lifestyle. So feel free to head over there and download anything that looks useful to you and your health and wellness journey. I really appreciate you spending your time with me today, and until next time, stay strong.